I am Pastor Ashley Jennings. This is Pastor Cody Bren. And we are not married to each other, okay? And we are
married to other people.
Other people,
yes. We always have to go down this long list.
I know, it's awkward. It's awkward. Yes, but we are co-pastors here at Village Church, and we are so glad that you're here today. We're really excited. This is actually our last week in a series that we've been doing called Set Free, and the premise of it is overcoming sin. And so we have gone through scripture and looked at, and we have an app that you can download, free app, and it has our messages on there that you can go back and listen to. But we've talked about this issue of sin that we find ourselves in as people, right? Brokenness or self-destructive cycles or just anything that separates us from our relationship with God. And we've talked about how we find ourselves there. We looked at David and how he found himself, a man after God's own heart, found himself in a deep hole of sin. And then God came after him. And we talked about the proper response of repentance and how that is an aid in our lives. We also have talked about a victory over sin. Matt shared last week, my husband, I was so proud of that man. I know, so good. He's not here, he's back on the rig working, but he did such an amazing job. If you didn't hear his story, it is up on the podcast, and not just because I'm his wife, okay? It was so good.
Yes, super good.
And just what was encouraging about hearing from Matt is that we don't have to live in those cycles, right? That's not what God has for us. So today we're going to go even further and talk about, okay, what does this mean then? A lot of you got freedom last week. A lot of you in this series have gotten freedom. If you don't know anything about our church, you can know this. We are transparent. We are real people here. I'm a real person. I'm not a robot, okay? And we are open and honest about who we are in Christ and the journey that we're on. And so we've had confession times. People have come forward and gotten healing. Some people have made amazing vows before the Lord. You know, I'm done. I'm done with that life. You know, I'm over it. So we're going to continue talking about that today.
Yeah. So today we're going to be picking up, Matt preached out of Romans 6 last week, and we're going to be going through Romans 7 and Romans 8 today. So we're going to pick up here at Romans 7, chapter 7, verse 17. As it is, it's no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it's no longer I who do it. Sorry. Now, if I do what I do not... No, I said it right the first
what?
Time.
Wait, what?
Do not want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Now we pick up at 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So before we go on, I want you to just kind of hear the turmoil and that hurt and that yearning, and just like Paul is pouring his heart out there at the end of chapter 7 saying, I cannot escape this cycle. I do not do what I want to do. Right? And then he says, what a wretched man I am. But then there's this incredible promise at the top of 8. Therefore, though, the difference here, the change, is that there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. So our proposition today, the truth that we really want to bring out and that we want to walk away from today with, is that true freedom from sin requires absolute surrender.
Yeah.
True freedom from sin requires absolute surrender.
Yeah, we're going to break that down a little bit for you and explain what that means. But are you hearing that language? True freedom from sin in the here and now requires absolute surrender. And we have recognized, some of you have said, I want that freedom. Like, I know, because we can admit, anyone in here just willing to admit they're just perfect. Right, no hands. Mine is not even up. That was just an example. Okay, there, no one in here is perfect, thinks they have it all together, right? We all know our own stuff. And so what amazing that we can say that that truth, true freedom from sin, is a possibility. And it also, what it requires of us is surrender. And so the question we want to ask is, how does that work in our lives? Because who doesn't want freedom? Raise your hand if you just want some freedom in your life, right? There's a million things we want it from, but how does this work in our lives? And the first thing we see here in verse 24 is that we have to first recognize the sin nature cycle. And you, in your bulletin, you have notes if you like to take notes. Recognize the sin nature cycle. In verse 24, this is Paul, and he's kind of going through this turmoil, right? And he's saying, you know, I know what I'm supposed to do. I know the good that I'm supposed to do, who I'm supposed to be. And it's so funny, I can't even do it, right? Like, I have these desires, and no matter how much will I give it and how much I wake up every morning and say, today's the day, I'm not doing that. Have you ever done that? Like, today's the day I'm eating salad all day, right? No, right? You get, this is my own personal thing, but what, and he says, what a wretched man I am, because I'm in this cycle of like, I'm not going to do that, and then I fall into it, and then I even know it's wrong, and I am powerless over it. Can you identify with that? In your own life, you ever been there, no matter what it is, right? We know that cycle that we get into as humans, because this speaks to every single person on this earth. We all have experienced Paul's struggle. He comes to the end of himself, right, in this verse. He kind of just admits, I'm in a cycle and I'm over it. That's basically what he's saying. I'm a wretched man and I have no power over it. I'm so done trying. I'm so done with just trying to will myself to be so good or so right or so just holy. I'm just so done. I can't do it. He kind of gives up on himself. Do you see that in the scripture? When he's like, I'm in this cycle and I'm over it. I want to be done from this and I want to escape from myself. That's basically what he's saying.
Yeah. So now that we understand kind of the core of what Paul's struggling through, and really that's something we all kind of have gone through or maybe are currently going through, I want you to kind of have that cycle, that stuff that's in you that you can't quite shake. I want that to be on your mind today. Mm. As hard as it is to really recognize that and be able to look at it in its face and say, you are what trips me up. You are what keeps me in this cycle. Mm. I want you to look it square in the face, because that's what Paul had to do. And as you're doing that, I want you to hear these words. I'm going to read that part of that same passage, but out of the Message version. It happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Parts of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. Mm-hmm. I've tried everything, and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Who of you have been there? Maybe you're currently there. Is there no one who can do anything for me? I'm at the end of myself here. I've tried, I've struggled, I've gone through this time and time again. When is this going to be done? I thought I had it this time. I thought I had it dealt with for sure. I had a good run. I left it all behind. I thought I did. I thought I gave this up. That's what we go through. I know so many of you can relate to that because I did that for over two decades of my life. It was that cycle over and over and over and over and over again until I really related with this and I had to get to the end of my rope and I realized, man, I am worthless. What a wretched man I am, mm-hmm. that Paul says. You have to get to the end of yourself. In order to really find what you need and really, in order to really accept who Jesus truly is and can be for you, you have to finally, once and for all, put the last nail in that coffin of you. You have to bury it and say, I'm done. I can't. I'm too weak. Mm-hmm. That's it. It's enough. You have to be done. Do you hear me? Mm. You got to be done. And only then, when you realize that you can't do it anymore, can you really be open to the fact that there's a rescuer for you. Because yeah. then you can really know what Savior means. Got to be done.
Yeah. You know, here we're just interested in freedom. This series is titled Set Free, right? That's what we're all about the last month or so. And honestly, our entire church life has been about, let's see people set free. Free from brokenness and sin. And it's got to start with recognizing that first you're in that cycle, right? When we read the scripture, we have to just own, this is who I am, and I have no power over it. You know, some of us think, some of you might today be like, yeah, I recognize that, but I'm not quite done. I think I got a little fight left in me, right? Like, let me just give it one more go around. I bet tomorrow if I wake up and just give it my all, maybe I can overcome it, you know. But I want to tell you something. Fear of letting go or holding on to control is what keeps you from really being done with it. And we're saying today, you can have true freedom, absolute freedom from that brokenness in your life, but you first have to recognize, I can't do it myself. And that is hard. That's a hard thing to admit, that I am a weak human being. It is. It's humbling. But we're going to keep going here, and you're going to find out what happens after you do recognize that. And so do not be afraid to let go today. Like Cody said, something is in front of your mind. We know. We've been praying for you all week. We know that you walked in here today, and God has put something on your heart that's coming up right now that you're saying, I want freedom from that. It could be just an outright sin, right? That you're just like, I know, I need to put that down. It's not good. It could be, you know, sometimes we use the language like, I'm just going through a hard time. And you don't really know what it is, you know what I'm talking about? You just can't identify exactly what is it that I'm going through. I'm just not right where I should be, okay? That's a similar thing. I can't overcome. It could be anxiety. It could be some healing that you need. Today, I want to encourage you, just own it, right? Recognize it like Paul did. I am at the end of myself. Let me get to the end of my rope, God, because I have no power over it. Don't be afraid to let go of that fear and that control over your own stuff.
Yeah. So the next point we want to make here is that after you recognize that sin nature cycle, right? That you're in a cycle and that it's really impossible to break on your own. You can't rid yourself of sin on your own power, right? Once you recognize that, then the next step is naturally you have to find hope in Jesus. You have to find hope in the right place. In the only place that can do anything for you. And that's the person of Jesus Christ. And so we see this, right? After, at the end of chapter 7 here, Paul is going through and he's like just baring his soul and just saying, man, I'm such a terrible person, a wretched man I am. I'm caught in this cycle of sin. And then verse 25 comes and we see this glimmer. This glimpse of hope that he has. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. He points us to the only source that can do anything for us. That's the hope that's found in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And what's amazing is after you, if you were to sit down and reread Romans, the book of Romans, right? And 6-8 is really this time when Paul's really struggling through this and finding out that there is a once and for all answer for sin in a person's life and that it can be a one and done deal if it's given to Jesus fully. And then in the next chapter, 9-11, he starts pleading with the Israelites. Because here's the thing, the Israelites were God's chosen people, and in the Old Testament, they were told to walk in obedience. to obey because they didn't have Jesus. They didn't have an ultimate atoning sacrifice for the wrong and the sin that they carried. And so they just tried hard not to do the things that God didn't want them to do. And how did that work out for them, right? Not really great. If you read the Old Testament, it's just a big cycle of ups and downs and ups and downs and really low lows and some upticks towards the end and really low lows again. I think that humanity as a whole had to recognize, and it took us a long time to get that message through our thick heads, that we were not going to do this on our own.
Yeah.
We were not going to be able to obey what God needed us to obey, to be holy, to be in his presence, to be who he needed us to be. We weren't going to be able to do that on our own. We had to get to the end of our rope as humanity. Mm-hmm. And then what happened? Jesus happened. And it all changed. And it was no longer about this obedience to this law code and try hard to follow every single one of those. And if you fail, then an animal's going to die. And blood's going to have to be shed for you, and you're going to go through this cycle over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. But Jesus is the ultimate atoning sacrifice for us. Mm-hmm. He died once, not over and over again. Right? He died once for us so we could be free once and for all. That's the promise. That's the hope. You guys hear that? Mm-hmm. You guys understand that? The hope that is found in Jesus, the hope to mankind, the hope that is beyond all other hope in this life, that's only found in the person of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, someone here needs to hear this today. Jesus is not just a helper, he is a savior. He's not just a helper to kind of, as you limp along, help you when you fall, patch up your wounds, and certainly he does that, but he is a savior. He is someone, if you have found yourself in a hole, okay, if you have fallen into a hole and it is too deep for you to get out of, maybe it's something that happened to you, maybe something that you've done that has put yourself there, it says that Jesus is a savior. Paul gets to the end of this thing where he's like, I'm a mess. My life is a mess. No matter what I do, it's not going right, but thanks be to God for Jesus Christ. It's like there's a dark cloud, but there's a little break in the clouds and this light gets through, and that is the hope of Jesus and what he can do for you. And so someone needs to hear that today, that he's not just a helper, he is a savior. You know, there's common misconceptions or misunderstandings about salvation, right? We say salvation sometimes, you know, and here we'll say, do you want to start a relationship with Jesus? And we kind of mark that as the salvation moment, right? Like, yes, I want that. Whatever you're saying, I want it. And certainly that is. But sometimes we think that salvation is just, or it's only, Jesus came, he died for my sins, so now I get to go to heaven. Right? That's kind of the one sentence tagline of this is what Jesus did and who I am now because of it. But I want to tell you, that's not just it. That is certainly true in and of itself, but that's not just it. Paul is saying here in the scripture, and we've experienced in our own lives, and we've been hearing testimonies over and over, Celebrate Recovery testimonies, and just even Cody and I one-on-one experiencing it with other people, that there is freedom here and now. There is salvation today for what I'm going to face today, right? There's salvation for that financial struggle that I'm in, for that situation I can't control, for that marriage that's struggling, for that sin, that gross, you know, cycle that I'm in. There is salvation today. Amen? Isn't that just the best news ever? We call ourselves storytellers here at Village Church. We say we have a story worth telling and the world needs to hear it. Don't you think the world needs to hear that? That there is salvation for you today, here and now, for whatever it is that you're going through. Also, sometimes we hold back from Jesus, like we talked a little bit earlier, because we have this cycle of fear and control. Right? Like last week, Matt, my husband, shared, like, he was in this kind of battle, and he even said, he bore all. I'll tell you, it took my breath away a few times. I'm like, oh, we're just sharing that about our marriage, you know, whatever. But he bore all last week, and he just shared, like, you know, I was afraid to let go, or I wanted to control it. I wasn't ready. I thought, I still want to hold on to something about it I still like. And then he finally got to the end of his rope. And so fear and control is something that really holds us back from experiencing this hope in Jesus Christ. If you're afraid of what life might look like because you have to put something down, or afraid that you'll have to give up your control or your, you know, grip on life or what you think how it should end up, you're not going to experience this hope and this freedom in Jesus. It's today's salvation for you. We want to encourage you. We have to replace fear and control with the words trust and surrender. Right? This, I'm not going to be afraid, I'm going to trust you, and I'm not going to control, I'm going to give it up, right? Fear and control has to go, and trust and surrender has to come. And I'll tell you, it's so neat. We've been doing these, like, we don't even know what we call them, these sessions with people where they basically just get freedom, okay? It's amazing. And if you want one, we'd love to meet with you. But in that, it's so neat to see people work through, like, I'm afraid to let go. And then when they finally do and they hand it over, the freedom that comes is amazing. It's absolutely amazing. I want to ask if any one of you are willing to share that you've met with us and received freedom, or you've been in a service, you've received freedom or something, giving up that fear and control, would you just raise your hand? Awesome. We are experiencing it in our congregation. It's amazing. We want to encourage you, hand it over. There's nothing there for you anymore, right? You're gonna eventually get to the point where Paul says, I'm done, I'm a wretched man, and I just hope that you will choose to get to that point today, right? Don't let it ring out in your life for this long season until you finally get there. Choose today to hand it over.
So you need to ask yourself, are you still in that? Are you still trying to control things, or have you realized that it's fruitless? Or maybe you're too afraid. Maybe it has to start with that fear. Maybe you're not even to the understanding that you control things, but you're so afraid to face the things that have control over you that you haven't even got past that, right? You kind of have been hiding it in a closet somewhere deep within you. And it's in the darkness, and it's growing stronger and stronger the longer it's in the darkness. But you have to bring that out into the light, and that's what's scary. That's the hard part, is because you have to face that thing head on, look it in the eyes and say, no, I'm not going to be afraid of you any longer. Mm-hmm. And so you have to deal with that fear. Guys, here's the thing you need to ask yourself. What's the worst that could happen? Right? If you once and for all, if you're so afraid that you're paralyzed in the struggle and the sin cycle that you've been in, if you're so paralyzed in that, what is the worst that could happen if you at least try dealing with it? And try dealing with it with the right way with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. What's the worst thing that could happen, guys? Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, I was in that sin cycle for decades in my life. Mm-hmm. And I thought I could handle it, but I was too afraid to confront it. I was too afraid to bring it to the light, and that's what kept me down. You have to face it head on. You have to say, I'm not going to fear you anymore. I'm going to look you in the eyes. And then, once you know what you're handing over, you can say, I'm going to give this to you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Do we get that?
Yeah, so first thing we do, we recognize that sin nature cycle, and then we find hope in Jesus. We like, oh my gosh, there's an answer for it. And this last thing we want to bring out is that then we have to embrace an in Christ life. And that language comes from chapter 8, verse 1, and it says this: therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Amen. Jesus. I'm going to say it again. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so when I think of condemnation, I actually like looked it up in the dictionary and saved it on here to share with you. Basically, what it is it's this feeling of disapproval, condemnation over your life. There's this guilt that comes. There's the consequences of sin that you have to face in your own life, you know, all of these lack of joy, bondage, all these things, the inner emotions that are attached to sin, all of that gets to go when you are in Christ Jesus. It has to go when you're in Christ Jesus. You know, I've been realizing lately, sometimes I want you to know, I'm learning so much in this season of life about the power of Jesus Christ and what salvation really is. It's really been eye-opening for me. But I think sometimes we sort of don't understand what true freedom means, and so we kind of entertain what I would just call bondage in our lives. And those could be thoughts that we just kind of try to suppress, insecurities, sin that we leave in the closet, you know, anxieties that, like, you know those thoughts that, like, creep up every once in a while. You're like, no, right? We don't think those things, you know, church girls don't think, you know, or whatever it is that you think. I'll just tell you what, Jesus wants that all gone. There's no condemnation. There should be no creeping in thoughts or things that have a hold over your psyche or your mind. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing to hear? Freedom is a real life-changing today thing that you can own, you can have. And I'm just so encouraged by these verses, the power of that promise that we are not condemned. I've made so many mistakes in my life. I make mistakes, you know, sometimes daily, right? And there's no condemnation for me because I am in Christ Jesus. That is a hope that should fuel your everyday living, coming and going throughout life.
Yeah. And I want to explain, there's a big difference between in Christ and being near Christ. I think as Christians, oftentimes we go through what, you know, is in the Christian realm, we call it going through the motions, right? You go to church, you maybe read your Bible every once in a while, you pray when it's convenient or when you need something, right? And you sing songs and you even go to maybe a conference here or there. And in those moments, you get really near the presence of God. And then you have what's called like a spiritual high, right? You can maybe go like, what happens often, like when I was a kid, I went to summer camp every summer, right? And Bible camp, and you get this spiritual high after Bible camp, like you're gonna conquer the world when you leave. And then like a couple weeks later, you go right back to where you were. I'm gonna tell you the difference there is that until you're fully in Christ, until he has full control over every last bit, until you've actually handed over by name everything that binds you, you're only ever really getting near God, and his presence alone will stifle your sinful nature because he's holy. Yeah. And so the presence of God, nothing evil, nothing of the devil, nothing of death, nothing of sin can stand in his presence. So when we approach that throne, when he's in this place, when he's working and moving, like then you feel like this, wow, okay, I feel like I'm gonna go conquer the world this week. Right? And then we leave, and then what happens? We go right back to where we were. It's just like when Moses went up on the mountain, right? He was in the presence of God, and he was filled with his glory. But after he left God's presence, that glory faded. Mm-hmm. Because God wasn't in Moses. Moses was just in God's presence for a time. Do you see the difference? Mm-hmm. And I think most of you can relate to what that feels like. And we think that, boy, like if I could only keep that, what is the deal? I keep losing that desire in me and that holy feeling of being set free. I keep losing that for some reason. I go and I give it up and I have this amazing time at worship, or I listen to an amazing podcast or whatever it is, right? It's because you're near God. And his holiness stifles all that. It pushes it so far back. But you're still not dealing with it. You're still not handing it over 100% to Jesus Christ so that you can now be in Christ and you can step in to Christ, not just be buddies with him and near him every once in a while. That's the difference we're talking about. And I had to learn that lesson myself. I know I've talked a lot about it, but with my struggle over the last several decades, so 2 decades at least, like in my life, I struggled with pornography and I struggled with anxiety. And they were not mutually exclusive, right? Like if I had anxiety really bad, I was gonna escape somehow. Mm-hmm. And we tend to escape with what we know how to cope with. So whether that's addiction or just unhealthy behavior in any way, right? And here's the crazy thing is like, I would try to stifle that, right? That anxiety would come up and I have, okay, here's my list of choices before me. How am I gonna deal with the anxiety this time? Okay, I could do that, but I know that's wrong, so I don't wanna do that, right? And so maybe I'll pick reading my Bible. Okay, so I'll read my Bible for a while and eventually I might feel better, right? But then that anxiety would come back and so, okay, well, let's pray. I'm gonna pray for until it goes away. Right? Mm. Same thing. It stifles it. Or I'd go and I'd play guitar and I'd worship. And the same thing. I'd stifle it, but it'd come back every single time. And I got so done with that. And I was just pleading to Jesus saying, like, what is the deal? What am I doing wrong? I'm praying. I'm reading my Bible. I'm worshiping you. Right? I'm serving you. What is going on? What is so wrong that I can't get fixed here? And I realized that just like pornography or maybe overeating or anything else in my life, it was avoidant behavior. Hmm. I was using reading the Bible, praying, and worship as a way to avoid God and what he wanted to do in me. Isn't that crazy? But it's so true. And I had to get confronted by Jesus on that. And finally, I realized that I was just going in circles over and over and over and over again. And God was gracious enough. He would bring me to that point of surrender to make me look him in the eyes and say, this is what I want you to deal with. He allowed that anxiety to well up in me so I would be forced to look at him. But every time, I'd look away because it was too hard. And so I'd avoid him in some way. Mm. And finally, there was one day where I asked my wife, Jessica, to talk with Jesus about it for me, because that was too hard for me. And she got this incredible vision. And she saw me as this horse. I know it sounds weird.
You could laugh, it's okay.
It's okay. It's like... But I'm a horse, and I'm freaking out. And Jesus is in a horse trailer, and he's looking at me, and he's saying, come on, look at me. There's nothing that represents total surrender to a horse more than having to be trailered, because it can't run away, can't get out of there. And so Jesus was in that trailer and he was pleading with me. He said, look at me, Cody, look at me, look at me in the eyes. And I was getting frustrated with Jesus. And I was like, Jesus, I can't see you. What do you want me to do here? Like, if you want me to look in your eyes, then you're going to have to appear before me miraculously, and then I can look you in the eyes. That's the way it's going to have to work, because I have no idea what you're talking about. And then he said, abide in me, Cody. Abide in me. And I said, I don't know what that means. I have no idea what's going on right now. And I was just frustrated, and the anxiety was so bad, and that wasn't the end of it. I just knew, okay, I'm going to have to deal with how do I abide in you, and how do I look at you, right? There's that passage that says, fix your eyes on me. How do I fix my eyes on you? And so finally, like, one day I was sitting on my couch, and I don't know if this is going to work for everybody. I don't have any idea. I'm just telling you my story, right? I was sitting on the couch, and I was like, okay, I'm going to try to look at you now. And I just imagined him sitting on the other end of the couch, and I was like, here. That I'll look in this direction and I'll pretend that you're here. Is that doing it for you, Jesus? You know, like, it was bad. I was not in a good place. I was frustrated. But you know what happened right then and there is I broke down. And I realized I was just ignoring him for so long that all I had to do was acknowledge his presence, acknowledge that he was there with me, acknowledge that he wanted to see me, that he wanted to be with me, that I wasn't this gross thing that was just trying to get through cycles of anxiety and going through sin in order to cope with that. He just wanted to be with me. And what happened after that is I went into my office and I opened up and I started reading Romans 6 through 8. And this passage just blew me away. And I read the promise that there's a one and done opportunity, that I don't have to live in this cycle anymore, that I can truly be 100% free. And I read it in the message here. first I read that passage about like the cycle of sin that was so, it just hit me so hard. And then I read this. But with the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that fateful dilemma is resolved.
Amen.
Those who enter into Christ's being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous low-lying black cloud.
Amen.
A new power is in operation. The Spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. What a promise.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. What a promise. Right then and there, I just said, okay, I'm free. Thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm free. I'm done. No more. Cody is not someone who deals with anxiety.
Amen.
He doesn't struggle with that any longer. Cody's not someone who resorts to sin to deal with that anxiety from time to time. He's not someone who uses the Bible and praying and worship as a means to stifle my own anxiety and try to cope in that way. I'm free. I'm free. I'm a new creation. I'm free. I am a man of God.
Amen.
That's who I am now. That's the truth of it. And I'll tell you, I'm free, guys. I stand here today free. I've never been able to say that in my life, but in these last 6 months or so, I can tell you right here, right now, I know the freedom of Christ.
Amen.
100%, absolutely. I know who I am. I now know my purposes. I have such a clarity about who I am in Christ. I didn't think that was possible. I honestly didn't. And I'm a pastor, right? And I'd be up here and I'd be preaching, even at the beginning of this church, I'd be preaching about the freedom in Christ. And I didn't really know it myself fully, but I knew there was a promise in there somewhere. So I just want to ask you, are you ready for that?
Yeah.
Are you ready for that kind of a freedom? I know that some of you relate to what I went through because I'm not alone in that. And I know that's how a lot of us work. So I just need to ask, are you ready to be done? Are you ready for that freedom promise, for Jesus to come in and to deal with that low-lying black cloud that you carry around once and for all by magnificently clearing the air? Do you want that today?
Once you recognize that sin nature cycle and you find hope, you've realized Jesus is the only answer, the only way out for that, then you embrace what Cody is describing as this in Christ life. It says a new power is in operation in your life. Later on, if you want to read the rest of verse or chapter 8 on your own, it says that now you have the power, the same power that conquered the grave in Jesus Christ,
yeah,
comes to live in you, reside in you, and you have the power to put to death the sinful nature.
Yeah.
And when I read that, I say, I hear it as, you have the power to say no to sin. You have the power to have victory. You have the power to begin picking up what's good and what's healthy and life-giving. All the things that the Spirit offers you, you now have access to.
Amen.
And can you imagine what your life would look like today if you just said, I'm done, I recognize it, Jesus, come. I want to embrace a life in you, not near you, not kind of, you know, walking where you're just kind of helping me along, but we are in it together, Christ in me and me in Christ. It is the best decision that you will ever make. And we're going to give you an opportunity here soon just in worship to respond to God for yourself today. And I just want to encourage you, what other time do you have to just own that, right? Sometimes just coming in here for this hour and a half, this is the moment that God has set up for you. When you think like, oh, maybe I'll do that when I get home by myself, you're not gonna, okay? That's why we come here today. And so take the opportunity that is before you to meet with God today, to hand those things over and to receive that freedom.
Yeah. We're going to bring Chris up, and he's going to share. And just before he shares, would you just open yourself up to this next portion of the morning? We're going to be asking some questions, and we're going to be giving you some opportunities to respond. So as he speaks, I really just be observant of the fact that the Holy Spirit's moving in you now, pushing you towards an ultimate healing, salvation, deliverance, and freedom.
Well, I'm excited to share today. Cody and Ashley have asked me to just share a little bit about my experience with the session we had where we had healing prayer. And as a leadership team, we've been going over the fullness of what it means to be saved. And we've been going over that when you come to Christ, you are not only saved from your sins, you're forgiven of your sins, but you're set free, you're healed, and you're delivered. And so about, I think it was about 6 weeks or so ago, you know, I had met with Cody and Ashley, and you know, we were leaving, and Cody was like, "Hey, how you doing?" You know, when you have those moments where someone asks you, "Hey, how are you doing?" You usually say, "Hey, I'm doing good," or "I'm doing great." But in my heart, I knew I wasn't. You know, I had been arguing with my wife, and so I was like, "You know what? I'm not gonna. I want to be transparent. I want to be real." And that's the power of confession. When you get real with God, then he's able to set you free, and what the enemy tries to hold over you no longer has its power. But it took me like a month to, because Cody was like, "Hey, we can get together and we can do some counseling sessions. We can, you know, meet with you and Jess." And I was like, "Sure." So, but it took me a while. I just kept putting it aside. And finally, after another argument, I texted Cody. We had been arguing about finances and just some things. And it came to this place where I was going down this path of where if I didn't nip it in the bud, it could really get ugly. And I was just seeing what I was doing to my wife, hurting her, and you know, she's crying. And I was really just being selfish. And so today I really believe that the Lord wants to bring us to a place of repentance. And when Jesus would preach, he would say, he would announce, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And one of the meanings of that word repent is that it means to change the way you think. And so today, I believe that God wants to bring this mindset of where we can repent and receive salvation, healing, deliverance. You know, it says in Acts 4:12, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." And so we were diving into this word salvation, and in the Greek, that word is sozo. And so it says, we must be sozoed, or we must be saved. And also in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be sozo, saved. And in Matthew, it talks about Jesus turned and saw her, and he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has sozo, healed you." And the woman was healed at that very moment. And in Luke, it says that those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been sozo, healed. And so I finally made that appointment, and Cody and Ashley came, and we had this counseling session. My wife was there, and we outlined some of the things we were struggling with. And then I set up another appointment to meet with Cody, and my wife Jess set up a meeting to go through healing prayer. And so during my session, you know, Cody, we set it up on a Friday, and Cody texted me and said, "Hey, do you mind if also a friend of ours comes in and sits in on this meeting?" And I'm thinking, well, great, I don't want that. Then I can't be myself. You know, there's some stranger who's gonna know all my junk. But then I just felt God say, if you really want to be free, what does it matter who's there? So I was like, you're right. So the pastor was there, and I just went in there with this really wanting to deal with the root issues. You know, because we had been arguing about money. We had been arguing about just things that I've been doing, making decisions without asking her input. And as we began to go through this prayer time, you know, Jesus would take me through certain memories where the fear of rejection just started to come into my life, where I would hide things from people because I didn't want to be rejected and I didn't want to be real. And what really broke me was when we got to this place where, you know, I had been just hiding purchases. I'd been hiding, just little things like, hey, I'm gonna go to the gym, but not tell my wife. You know, I'm on the way to work. Little things like that I thought doesn't matter, but really, it was a root of pride in my life, a root of just taking God out of my decisions. You know, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. But what broke me was I saw. Well, what we do is we just remember the, Cody asks, where was the argument? What was happening? And see if you can see Jesus in that moment. And we had, Jess and I had this terrible argument, and we were in the kitchen, and I could see Jesus there with sad eyes, and he had a piece of paper in his hands. And as I was just recalling this argument that we had, the paper that Jesus had in his hands was my vows to my wife. And one of my prayers as a husband is, I want to be a picture of you, Jesus, to my wife. I want to be a good dad. And I didn't realize that when I wasn't involving Jess in those decisions, or even involving God in those decisions, I was breaking those vows to her, and I was breaking those vows to him. And it just broke me. Because I was just doing things on my own. And I remember I just asked Jesus to forgive me. And I could see myself just kneeling before him, asking him to forgive me. And I felt that weight come off of me. And I saw him put a robe over me and crown me. And that cloud that it talks about in Romans just lifted off. And today, I really believe that same freedom God wants to release today. You know, as we were singing that song, I was just, tears were filling my eyes because the verses were, where there was death, you brought life, Lord. Where there was fear, you brought courage. When I was afraid, you were with me and you lifted me up. And so today, you know, some of you might be afraid to just come clean before God, but I'm telling you, he's so gracious, he's so kind. And even when I was in that in sin, he still looked at me with those eyes of love, wanting me to have that restored relationship. And since then, you know, those triggers, those moments where I would want to maybe fall back to the same decision-making patterns, instead, I'm thankful I can respond with patience and love and thankfulness. And Jess has been so gracious to me too, just understanding that now we can walk through this healed and delivered. So this morning, as I was praying throughout the week, and Cody and I and Ashley, we were just praying, we're believing that there's gonna be incredible breakthrough for everyone here, whether you're single, whether you're a husband, whether you're a wife, whatever it is you're struggling with, I really feel like God is going to do something really powerful and amazing. And we've had incredible opportunities here to see chains broken. You know, we've got incredible programs like CR. But I want to encourage you again, if you feel like maybe you're trapped and don't know where to turn to, you know, write on the connection card and ask to meet with Cody and Ashley. And they're just so gracious, and I really appreciate that level of being able to be transparent before them. So we're just going to take a moment right now and ask the Holy Spirit to just search our hearts. Lord, we just come before you. I come before you. Lord, just humbled, Lord, that no matter how far we are away from you, no matter the decisions we've made, the things that we've done to mess up our lives, even things that we hide from you, yet you're so gracious to draw us back. And it's really not about the sin and trying to avoid it and just trying to get rid of it and do it on our own, but Lord, you want to bring true freedom. You want to bring, restore the beauty of walking with you and having intimacy with you and not having to hide things. Lord, I pray that today there's things that are hidden that we are hiding from you and hiding from maybe a spouse. Lord, we just pray the Holy Spirit would fill this place with freedom. Lord, where the enemy has been lying to us and trying to keep us trapped, we just declare that freedom today of the cross. And we come before you, like it says in Romans, God, as a living sacrifice. And we place our everyday life before you, every aspect of our life, big and small. And we look to you, Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And today that shame, if you're feeling that shame, that condemnation, God wants to bring that freedom. He wants to restore that joy to you. You are the joy that was set before Jesus, that he would endure the punishment for sin. Lord, I pray right now, just release that boldness, God, for people to come before you, before your throne of grace, and receive the healing they need, the deliverance they need, the freedom that they need. So if that's you this morning, if you would just raise your hand and acknowledge that, thank you. Lord, even as they've raised their hands, God, you see the struggle. Done with trying to do it on your own, and you say, you know what, I'm at that place of surrender where I just want to give everything up and surrender it to Christ. If you would just raise your hand.
Thank you, Lord.
And maybe some of you are feeling that prompting to fill out a card and drop it in that box. Maybe if you would just raise your hand as well, just to, again, to acknowledge that God wants to set you free. And I would just encourage you to do that later today. So we're going to go into this time of worship, and if you're wanting that freedom, I'm just going to have you stand before him, because he wants to embrace you. He wants to lavish his love over you, and there's no fear in love, because perfect love drives out all fear. So as we sing that and we just begin to worship right now, if you would just stand before him as an act of surrender.